Welcome to The Squeal, PIC Swine Management Podcast, featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. Today, we continue our pork quality discussion looking at animal welfare, feed withdrawal, and packing plant practices. Our special guest is CEO of the American Meat Science Association, Colette Caster.
Colette Caster, meat scientist with C-Caster Solutions.
And PIC's Neil Matthews and Brandon Fields.
Neil Matthews, Applied Meat Science.
Brandon Fields, manager of Applied Meat Science.
Does pork quality mesh well with animal welfare issues?
It actually meshes well with some pork safety issues as well. So just making sure that you're trying to do everything that you can to minimize stress, the feed withdrawal that Neil talked about. I did want to mention, we fully recognize that that's not possible to do on all loads, because Neil and I did some research years ago that showed that the negative to taking pigs off feed that were remaining in the barn didn't offset the quality benefit to doing it for that first group, but definitely on closeout groups you do that, and then that minimizes gut fill, it improves handling of the animals, reduces the stress, and even enhances the food safety and reduces the risk of contamination on the line.
But there are some systems that I've learned, Colette, that are able to do full feed withdrawal, and a lot of that depends on how good they are in their finishing barns. If you have a lot of feed outages throughout the whole finishing period, it's probably going to have a lot larger effect on doing that feed withdrawal and the first pigs removed from the barn, the subsequent ones dying afterward, the closeouts. And it also matters on how wide your marketing period is. If you have a 4-week marketing period versus a 6-week marketing period, obviously for a 6-week marketing period, you wouldn't want to do the first pigs out of the barn. But in some systems where they're very good at making sure they have no feed outages and lots of things like that occurring throughout the finishing phase, they can get away with doing it without having a negative consequence on.
And in a lot of countries, you're dealing with a much smaller finisher facility, and it's an all-in, all-out system. So in which case, it's obviously a very simple solution to do the feed withdrawal.
Now, Brandon referenced the blueprint. I just kind of want to walk through that, and I'll ask you guys to kind of take turns on it. But one of the first elements of that is that feed withdrawal. So what are the guidelines for that?
6 to 8 hours on farm before the pigs are loaded. We like to see at least that much time, because that allows the passage of the feed through the stomach to exit through the stomach. Because once that pig gets on that truck, the stomach shuts down. If it's got a full stomach when it gets on the truck, it's going to have a full stomach when it gets off. And that goes back to the food safety issues Colette was talking about.
And just to clarify before Neil goes on, that means 6 to 8 hours with no feed in the pan.
Right.
That doesn't
Not
mean you turn the switch off.
You may have to shut the feeder off 48 hours before that. You have to, it's a learning process. A lot of companies we go to, they have different feeders at different farms, and they have to do little small trials to see how long it takes them to...
That's a fast. No feed
yes,
for that.
No feed. No feed.
Okay.
So then what I like to think of as total feed withdrawal is I don't want to go over 24 hours total. So then you got to figure in, you want to get at least 3 hours of rest time, or typically a minimum of 2. We like to get at least 3 hours of rest time in the plant once they arrive. You figure your transport time in and sort of figure what your total time is. I like to have somewhere between 12 and 15 hours total minimum, but just not go over that 24 hours.
Okay, what's next?
I mean, after the feed withdrawal, we're really talking about the stress from the transportation that we've already covered, as far as, you know, loading, transportation density, truck density, transportation duration and length, which the length is a fixed effect based on where your farm is and where the plant is, and you manage it accordingly or as best you can. The real key in any transportation is don't stop. Once the pigs are on the truck, go directly to the plant. Don't bother going anywhere else. So, you know, that keeps them cool, keeps them moving, keeps the airflow. Especially in the summertime, if you stop the truck and go in for lunch, well, the pigs are sitting there baking in the sun, and that's not good for anybody. So, you know, keep the truck moving, get them to the plant, work off your dock time, make sure your dock times are scheduled, make sure you loaded at an appropriate time for your transport distance so that you can hit your dock times at the plant and you're not sitting there waiting at the plant, because it's the same difference as if you went into lunch. Some plants now, and Colette might be able to speak on this better than I can even, but a lot of plants anymore even have regulations of you cannot sit on the property waiting to unload. If you show up extra early, you have to just go drive around to keep the pigs cool. So getting them there, getting them unloaded, giving them that proper rest time. You know, that's where we're at to this point. And then, you know, it's the animal handling up until the stunning process.
Yeah. And Colette, before we go to the stunning process, tell me about those loaders, the individuals who are moving them out of the pen, up the ramp, into the truck. How critical is that? What kind of training do we have options for that?
It is very critical. That's a good point. It kind of sets the tone for what the handling is going to be like for those animals. And just like Brandon's analogy about kids, these pigs haven't really gone anywhere. So it's their first time back out of that pen, first time getting on a truck. And so the handling can be very formative for them. People do try to work closely to train the people that do loading. It's important to recognize that that can be anything from professional loading crews that go between a number of different sites, or it can be family members that are, you know, owners of a contract finisher. So the Pork Board does a nice job of setting expectations both in PQA and TQA and auditing about how pigs will be handled. So how much the hot shot can be used, what are appropriate handling methods and tools, how to move the pigs using small groups, trying to not do it in the heat of the day, trying to do loadouts in the evening if possible.
Thank you. We're back to the plant then. Let's talk about what some of the blueprint elements are as we reach the plant that we're still following in order to maintain best quality.
So get them unloaded in the pens. Watch the stress levels of doing that. One of the big things that's changed over the past 10 years is elimination of electric prods. And I think that's helped us tremendously in that area. I don't know of anyone in the U.S. that's using them right now. There may be someone, but
very minimal at the plant, yeah.
Yeah. So it's getting that way worldwide as well.
And again, that's mainly just that stress level that it's increasing
yes,
dramatically.
Yes, yes.
Which we can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and when you get them in that lairage, as much as your facility allows, don't mix trucks loads. You know, that just causes extra mixing of pigs, increases the fighting.
Good lighting in the barn, up high in the barn, well lit to avoid shadows and stuff. Plenty of the stocking density appropriate in the pens. Provide water. They don't drink much, but have it there.
Fans and misters when weather appropriate.
Yes.
And at least 2 to 3 hours in that pen, if at all possible.
If at all possible, at least three.
Okay. So, stunning. We're on the way to the stunning. What now?
I think from the pen to the stunner is the most critical process while that pig is still alive. That's where most of the stress is going to occur, and they can't recover from that stress because they're dead. So these new CO2 stunning systems with the group movement of pigs have really been a game changer with regards to that stress immediately prior to slaughter.
Describe that to me. What does it look like?
So instead of pigs being moved in a single file, one pig behind another going into the stunning process, they're moved in an alleyway that's probably, 6 foot wide?
They're ballpark.
And anywhere from 4 to 8 pigs in a group. And there's automated movement of the pigs. Depending on the system, there may be 2 automated moving sections, or there may be
so
one.
The escalator's like in an airport?
Not the floor. It's a push gate.
Okay.
So rather having a human in there with a board, there's a pneumatic gate with a pressure sensor.
Gentle and slow.
It won't actually, it's not supposed to push the pig, but it sort of.
Right. They should have a pressure sensor. If it feels that it's got too much force against it because it's pushing against the pig, it shuts down.
Okay.
And it has to be manually restarted to move forward. Systems are slightly different, but that's kind of the general concept.
So I've moved them into the stunner.
Yep.
And it's a box.
It is a, if we're talking CO2, it is a big box that carousel, multiple chambers, takes them down into the ground. CO2 gas is heavier than air, so it sinks. You need a pit. Takes them in there. You need the appropriate concentration of gas. I mean, we recommend 92% and above. And they need the appropriate dwell time. They need to breathe enough of it that they're fully anesthetized. To be honest, you get many of the plants in the States, the pigs are actually probably dead when they come out because of animal welfare concerns. The last thing you want is a pig being conscious through the rest of the process. So you ensure that it is not. At that point, your animal handling aspects and stress, that period is over. From there, it's getting them through the process as quickly, efficiently, and correctly as possible so that you can begin the chilling process.
Okay, so they're stunned.
They're stunned.
What's next? And then, you know, what are we watching for as far as our pork quality?
You need a proper bleed. That's really critical in an electrical stun system because those electrical stun systems significantly elevate the blood pressure and the heart rate if they're not a head-to-chest stun. And we want to bleed that pig quickly and efficiently to eliminate blood splashing, small ruptures of the blood vesicles out into the muscle, which is a quality concern. And simply to, in those cases of a head-only electrical stun, that pig is truly stunned. A good quick bleed actually ensures that we get a thorough, humane death of the animal.
Quality now. I'm talking about, okay, now I've got to go into the dressing process, yes?
Yes.
And what happens there that can mess with pork quality?
The goal is to get the heat out as quickly as possible. So you don't want to introduce any more heat than what you have to effectively remove the hair from that carcass, quickly get the carcass eviscerated, the internal organs, so it can start cooling down. So those are some of the critical things I think of, and then the amount of time it takes. I think maybe you can go too short of a time, because I see a lot of plants that have really short times that have really poor quality. But I think somewhere the ideal is somewhere around that 25 to 45 minute range, if we're within those ranges of getting them to the chilling process.
You're saying half an hour from stun to hanging?
From stun to chilling.
Stun to going to the cooler.
Yeah, okay.
30 to 40 minutes from stun to cooler, yeah.
Anything over 45 I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
You know, and then back, I don't think it's a specific item on our blueprint, but when we're talking about that stun to chill time, operational focus tends to say, let's always have a few pigs here, hanging here, so that we can keep the line full, going down the line. But you got to remember, when you're keeping those few pigs sitting there, they're not being chilled. They're sitting there in a very warm environment, and that is very detrimental to the pork quality. So working with them to, that's fine, and I understand it from the operational efficiency, but let's keep those pigs rotated. Don't put 10 pigs out there first thing in the morning, and they're still sitting there till the end of the day.
Because you put them back in at first break.
Because you didn't need them. Keep them rotated out 10 minutes at the most to get them back into the process and go and carried through.
As you guys talk to plants in this country and other countries, this is something they're receiving okay, right? Because you're kind of mucking with their paradigm. This is my area of expertise.
They don't like you messing with their pocket.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just trying to, okay, yeah, you can have, like Brandon said, you can have the pocket, but you need to manage it properly. Don't let those pigs sit there for 2 hours hanging outside. Get them back in, you know, and there's some plants that actually have quality assurance go out there and they mark a time on them and they come back and check them to see if they've been put back in, to make sure they are rotating that pocket of pigs.
So like the coffee at Einstein's. This was on at 8:10.
There you go.
Yep.
Okay.
Same concept.
Okay, cool. Next step.
From this point, they're basically into the cooler. And this is where the chilling process, which, you know, as Neil mentioned before, that animal handling immediately pre-stun is probably the most important factor. If that's number one, chilling is number two. And if you make any disagreements at all, it's just to reverse the two of them. They are definitely number one and two, depending on your order of.
And those two elements can overcome 160 days of good management.
They
nutrition.
Can negatively overcome 160 days. Yeah. They can't positively overcome. Okay. Again, if you start bad, you're never going to be good. But it doesn't matter how good you are at the start, the next step in the process can always screw it up. So, yes, if you do a poor job of chilling, I don't care how well everything else prior to that has been, you're not going to have great pork quality. If you have an extremely slow chilling system, you know, low capacity condensers, you've overstuffed the room because, again, you've got one of these old plants that was designed for 1,000 pigs that weighed 250 pounds at market, and now they're trying to cram 1,200 pigs that weighed 300 pounds at market. It's not going to fit, and it's going to impact your chilling rate significantly, and it's going to cause you some poor quality.
PIC has this blueprint. As a producer, how do I take advantage of that? Because you're talking about things that I feel like I have no control over. Once they leave on the trailer, you know, how do I impact that?
Sort of good versus bad here. You know, I deal with a lot of customers in Europe, and I'll go to producers over there, and they say, hey, the slaughter plant's complaining about my moisture loss, drip loss, and my product and pH and all that, and they tell me I've got to do something to change it. Well, I can go through and walk through these steps and say, hey, you know, look at this. Maybe it's them and not you, okay?
Which they like hearing, I'm sure.
Which they like hearing, and then they go to investigating into it and asking questions and find out, oh, well, they're just running my pigs as soon as they get them and running them into the process, not even giving them any rest, or things like that. And, you know, it helps them out in some respects that way. We probably don't get as much feedback in the U.S. on bad drip loss on the load of pigs or anything like that.
No, but, right. Well, and we have to remember that the industry is becoming more and more integrated. You know, every day there's more integration going on. And that's not just in the U.S., that's global. If I am the independent producer, okay, maybe I don't have as big a voice in the plant, but, you know, as we're still working with the integrated system of the plant, when they make these improvements, it impacts everyone. And if you can convince them that it makes an improvement on their own pigs, plus all the other pigs they're buying, and you can really start to put some economics to it, to look at some of these ROIs are not as long-term as you may think, depending on where you are and where you expect to go. I mean, I've calculated ROIs for a plant to do new chilling systems, and the payoff might be less than 2 years, which is pretty darn good.
If they're a fairly large plant, normally it is, unless they have a pretty decent system already.
Right. So when you're looking at less than 2 year ROI, it's a whole lot easier for people to make that investment and realize the impact, because, you know, it's helping them understand the entire process and all the factors that are being impacted by, for example, stress. You might work with a system and they say, well, we don't have dead pigs, so we're not stressing them too much. And then you start doing the research and working through the plant and saying, well, if you see you're not killing them, okay, they're alive, I understand, they're not having bruises, but the stress has negatively impacted your pH, which negatively impacts your water holding capacity of your carcass. So your shrink between hot weight and cold weight is a half percent to 1% higher than it should be. And then you have your dripping losses on the cut floor on top of that. So when you start adding up 2-3% moisture loss per carcass, that's where this ROI comes in, and there's a whole lot of money being lost there. And you start to get them to realize all the extraneous factors that are impacted by not following the blueprint.
Many thanks to American Meat Science Association CEO Colette Castor and PIC's Neil Matthews and Brandon Fields on this second episode on meat quality on The Squeal. You're welcome to share these podcasts widely in your organization. In fact, we encourage it. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.